The scripture reading is Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, I read. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Amen. Senior Pastor will deliver the second session of the message entitled Deficiency of the Body.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of over 9,000 branch churches in Korea and all over the world, local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, children of Sunday School, GCN, and Manmin TV viewing audiences, this is the second session on the deficiencies of the body. You can become more of a perfect child of God when you realize your deficiencies and correct them quickly. Your faith can grow up quickly and you can go into spirit and Holy Spirit quickly. In the last session, I explained the concept of the deficiencies of the body. It refers to the state where you lack the basic mental or physical ability, or the state where you have significantly different emotions than other people, because you have not gone through the processes that you should have gone through in the steps of seeing, feeling, and acting. It refers to the state where you lack the basic mental or physical ability, or the state where you have significantly different emotions than other people. In other words, you develop deficiencies of the body because you lack the knowledge you gain from seeing, hearing, and learning, or feelings, experiences, or actual process of doing things. According to the different steps of growth where you develop deficiencies, you might have deficiency in knowledge, in emotions, or in your behaviors and actions. But not going through the steps that you have to go through in your growth does not only mean skipping that particular step entirely. You might develop deficiencies when you do not go through those steps normally. As you are raised in abnormal environment, you might plant sins and evil more deeply than other people. So listening to the message, you should find out where and how, at which step you developed those deficiencies so you can correct them quickly. You have to realize those deficiencies anyway. It is a blessing to realize them. As you are raised in abnormal environment, you might plant sins and evil more deeply than other people. When the evil is placed deep inside you, it is difficult to realize your evil. If the sin is placed too deeply, it is difficult to realize it. Suppose since you are a child, you used to steal things. And if you are raised stealing things, then if you steal something small, you don't feel it is stealing. If you tell so many lies since childhood, then they don't know that they are lying. Even though other people say, why do you tell a lie? Then they don't understand. They don't realize that they are lying. You develop an emotional deficiency so that you do not feel how evil and filthy that evil is. When you listen to the Word of God and try to cast off sins, you would need much more effort than others. Because they are placed so deeply, even though you now realize those deficiencies, you have to expend so much effort to pull them out. If it's placed lightly, shallow, at shallow parts you can just pull them out, but if it's deep, you have to expend much more effort. For example, those who are raised in violent environments where people always fight and scream, they will easily use violence when they get angry. They didn't learn that we must not use violence. They learned it is natural to use violence if they don't like something. If they don't like anything, they naturally use violence. So, they cannot feel that they have done wrong even after using violence. They don't think about how painful it is for the others if they hit somebody. It's the same for those who are exposed to obscene environments, those who live with liars, who always tell lies, or those who are raised in wasteful and extravagant environments. When they hear and see unfavorable things in those environments, their hearts, minds, and actions are smeared with those things without them being aware of it, and thus they think and act accordingly. Even though they are not raised in improper environments, if they commit sins a couple of times, it becomes their habit. They know that certain behaviors are sins because they've heard the truth. But they keep on taking fleshly things and commit sins, and to that extent, their consciences become increasingly numb. They learn the truth, and now they come to know that something is untruth. But they know it is sin. But they just keep on committing those sins willfully. They know it is sin leading to death. Nevertheless, they commit the sin anyway. Especially, they know about heaven and hell and the judgment, but they willfully commit sins anyway. In that case, it's because they are so evil, and they say they believe in God, but they know God just as knowledge. If they really believe in God, they will learn the love of God first, how God loved us. And they will feel His love. And such people will never betray God by committing sins. But knowing all those things, if they betray God by committing sins, it means their heart is so evil. And as they keep on committing sins 2-3 times like that, then their consciences will become so numb. Some people do not acknowledge their fault, but create excuses and reasons using their intelligence and reasoning power. So there are people who make these eloquent lies and excuses. So other people, they don't really realize it. How cunningly these people are making excuses. Other people might just think, oh, he's such a fun speaker. It's fun to listen to him. But actually, they are making a lot of lies. So those who like joking around, they can never go into spirit. Because in those jokes and jesting, there are so many lies. If you want to tell a joke without any untruth, without any lies, it's not fun. It's not funny. So those believers, they shouldn't be joking around because they can't really make other people trust him. You know, other people will just think of him, oh, he's a funny guy. You know, other people, they will not think of him as a trustworthy person. If they keep on doing this, they will tell clever lies for their own benefit. But when others point it out, they would say, when did I lie? Oh, when did I lie? I didn't. So those who say that, they must look back on themselves. They have to think about how deeply the root of lying is placed in their heart. They can pull it out only when they realize it. If you keep on grumbling with frustration and if it becomes a habit, you do not even realize that you are doing it. Those who get frustrated often, you know, those who get frustrated, their face will change. They will have those wrinkles, frustration wrinkles. They try some massage or other things, but those wrinkles will not go away. How can you remove them? You have to cast off frustration. You have to smile all the time. Some people, the end of their eyes, they go up, so it looks a little bit scary or something like that. Unless they like it that way, if they want to look mild and soft and gentle and meek, they have to change their characters into gentle characters, so the edges of their eyes will come down. If you look at my photos of my teens, the end line of my eyes were going up so much, so people would tell me I was a general or something. But I didn't like it. And but after I accepted the Lord, before accepting the Lord, it was going up. So I didn't like it so much. It looked a bit aggressive. But when my heart became gentle and meek, it just came down, as you see. You know, if you look at my photos in my teens, 20s, and 30s, and now, you can compare those differences. You just think you said something you had to say, even after getting frustrated. That is why I always ask again and again, you who are longing for holiness, to see the truth, hear the truth, and think in truth only. This is also the reason why I ask especially students and young people to cut off the worldly things and take only spiritual things. Now you know and learn about spirit and you should go into spirit. And if you just want to stay in the flesh, you might say, you might ask, oh, can I just stay not going to spirit and just lead a life in faith just like that? Of course you can, but you still have some kind of instability. If you go into spirit, you are stable. You will never change your mind. You'll have firm faith, and you will just look up to the city of New Jerusalem. But if you do not go into spirit, you always have this kind of instability. You don't know when you're going to commit sins. You don't know when you're going to commit sins leading to death. Because you are always apt to be tempted. So if you think you stand, you have to be careful that you might fall. You think you believe, but it's not perfect. It's not firm. So you have to have a sincere heart and perfect faith, as in Hebrews chapter 10. If you have sincere, truly sincere heart, you'll have a perfect man of spirit. Unless you reach that level, you don't know when you're going to be tempted. You don't know when you're going to commit sins. And even though you are faithful in your faith in flesh, the best you can get is Second Kingdom of Heaven or First Kingdom, or you might even go to paradise only. Or in the worst case, you might even fall into hell. So there is a kind of unstable, still life in faith. There is something so good, and why would you want to take something bad? Not as good as the best. Which student, you know, if you are capable, why would you try not to go to good colleges? And if you don't try at all, if you don't try at all from the beginning, you can't even learn to read or write. It'll take a lot of time to realize and correct the deficiencies of the body that you have made without knowing the truth. Now you have come to know the truth, so you don't have to take the worldly things and accept more sins and evil to create more deficiencies of the body. But sometimes it is not the acquired aspects but the innate aspects might play a crucial role in creating deficiencies of the body. I gave you an example of such a person at this past leadership conference. This person has negative thinking because of her innate nature. This negative thinking created the deficiency, and she stays at 80th percentile in the third level of faith. She should have gone into spirit already, but she is staying at the 80th percentile only. She has faith and grace, but she is always sorry that she is not doing better. This feeling is so great in her. Even when she should have shown faith, being simple and pure, like a child, she couldn't do that because she was mentally depressed. Even though she loves the shepherd so much, she can't really come close. She remained with her limitations, thinking, how can I possibly ask for something so great? How could I receive such great grace? This kind of negative thinking can hinder us from having greater faith and going into spirit. Some people, they think, oh, I want to follow you, senior pastor. I might disturb your busy schedule or something. I don't want to take your time. They don't have to take my time. They can just follow me. They don't have to hold me and talk to me and, you know, take my time. They don't have to do that. They can just follow. In the Bible, also, those who followed men of God, they received blessings. When Elisha followed Elijah, he received a double portion of his inspiration. He became such a powerful prophet. When Joshua diligently followed Moses, he succeeded Moses. Mary Magdalene, when she followed Jesus diligently, she became the number one among all women. Same with Peter. This kind of negative thinking can hinder us from having greater faith and going into spirit. But even the deficiency caused by an innate nature can be changed as we realize ourselves and change our thinking and our hearts. We can just rely on the Father like a child and change ourselves to have more active and positive attitudes. So those who have this kind of way of thinking, they should be careful about something. They have good faith. And because of those deficiencies of the body, without having any sin, they might even get sick because of their family members, because of their affection, fleshly affection with their family members. They can go into spirit too, but they can't because of these deficiencies of the body. And suppose between husband and wife, you know, they are one body. But of course, if they separate, they are nobody to each other. But we in Korea, we have this relative system in the counting, the proximity of the relatives. We have the degrees. And husband and wife, they don't have any degree. And parents and children, they have one degree. And between brothers, they have two degrees. So between this immediate family, among these immediate families, they have the bonds. If the parents do something wrong, it might affect the children. Or if their children do something wrong, it might affect the parents. Even between the brothers too. Especially between parents and children. But if between brothers too, there are sometimes they might have a bond. If they live separate lives, they don't have the bond. But if one is in a place to take the responsibility, even between the grandfather and grandson, they have 2 degrees, but they might have a bond too. So this bond, the wife is faithful in the faith, but the husband is not. And especially if the husband has done something to cause the anger of God, if he did commit works of the flesh to cause the anger of God, if somebody commits such a sin among the family members, then that sin will also affect the wife. And if the wife commits it, it can affect the husband or the parents. Sin might affect the children, and the children's sin might affect the parents, because they all have the bond. So if the ancestors worshipped idols so much, it might affect the influence goes down to 3 to 4 generations, because they have the bond of the family. If you want to escape this kind of bondage, you have to go into spirit. Because the spirit and flesh can never be bonded together, bound together. So the sin of the husband will not affect the wife anymore, because spirit and flesh are completely different. While they stay in the flesh together, it might affect each other. But when the influence goes down to 3 to 4 generations, it all talks about the fleshly aspects. But if you look at the Bible, read the Bible, if you stand firm in faith, it will not affect that person. Because if you are a good believer, and if you serve God properly, then that influence to 3 to 4 generations will not have any effect anymore. Especially those who are in China, those who came from China, because their ancestors worshipped idols too much. Because of that, some of them got sick or diseased, or some of the family members became sick, and they want me to pray for them. If they want to be set free from those bondages, they have to go into spirit. Then there are men of spirit, and men of spirit are men of God. And God watches them and cares for them with the blazing eyes. So God intervenes in their lives, in every aspect of their lives, and the enemy, devil, and Satan cannot touch them, because they are in the space, in the area of God. So enemy, devil cannot penetrate into this area. So the bondage will be broken. Oh, I want to try hard in my faith, but because of this bondage from my parents and my ancestors, I struggle. You can't give such excuses. You have to go into spirit. If once you just go into spirit, then I try to stay awake, but I fall asleep in the worship services because of my parents and ancestors. I receive these disturbing works of Satan. You shouldn't say that you go into spirit and you will not be disturbed anymore. President or director, her family worshipped idols so much. But she, as she came into God, loves God first. Nothing matters to her. Those things, I've never seen her dozing off in any worship services. Even when she was a new believer, I've never seen her skipping prayers. I've never seen her get sick, even before she came into spirit, because she loved God first. Of course, she'd go into spirit so she wouldn't be disturbed by Satan. God protects her all the time. So that's why I'm asking you to cut off the fleshly affection, fleshly love of your family members. What does that mean? You have to love them spiritually. Our Lord told us, Jesus told us, if you forsake your brothers, parents, brothers, sisters, then you receive 100 times more. It means you have to change your love into spiritual love. Then you will receive 100 times more. I've cut off the kind of fleshly affection with my family members since I was a new believer, with my children, with my wife. Then God gave me more than 100 times. Do I have just, I have so many mothers in this congregation. I have so many brothers, so many sons and daughters. So many, because I forsook, God gave me back. I really, from my heart, forsook such a fleshly affection. And not just those who say spiritual father, but really, they are like family members. God gave me these many people. For example, as a wife, the husband is not leading a proper life in faith. So does she have to forsake him? It doesn't mean that. She has to love him spiritually. She has to go into spirit, and she treats him. She should treat him only in spiritual ways. If you treat them spiritually, you can lead them to spirit, and it will not have any fleshly bond. You can lead your children into spirit too. I will explain more in later. So even the deficiency caused by an innate nature can be changed as we realize ourselves and change our thinking about our hearts. Thinking in our hearts. We can just rely on the Father like a child and change ourselves to have more active and positive attitudes. Brothers and sisters, in fact, before they go into spirit, we have to say everybody has some deficiencies of the body. We all have some kind of shortcoming if we reflect upon ourselves with the truth. To have formed your present frameworks of self, you have had both some innate natures and the things that are formed by seeing, hearing, and feeling certain things experienced in your growth. But most of these elements that formed yourself were untruths. Yourself, I'm talking about your fleshly self. Since you're born, you have made yourself. You have this self. And everybody has each one's self. According to what you have seen, heard, and learned in your process of growth and how you're taught, you make yourself in different ways. So most of these elements that formed yourself were untruths. You didn't listen to the word of truth. You didn't speak truth. You were not taught the truth. If you are raised and taught only by the word of God from birth, you could have filled yourself with the truth. So God says we have some people like that in our church. Since they are born, they are on the rock of faith. Because the parents, they are already standing on the rock of faith. So because they are born like that, they stand from the rock of faith. If they both parents are in the spirit, their children will also be born, being close to spirit. So they will raise like that. The parents who are in spirit, they will obviously, they will raise their children in spirit. So what they see and hear and learn will be all spirit. So when they come to church, they will listen to the word of spirit. So even though they get in touch with the world, they will not accept those things because they have taught by their parents in spirit. And they are also innately born with a spiritual energy. Nature, spiritual nature, and they are taught by their parents in spirit, and they are taught in the church in spirit, so they can overcome. They can just cut off all the worldly things. They will not accept those things, so they are raised in spirit. But this is not common. It's really one in a million or something like that. Maybe even one in a billion. Most of you formed yourself, which is not proper, by the standard of the truth. In yourself, you have some evident sins and evil. You also have your self-righteousness and frameworks, which is difficult to change because you think they are right. This is very important. Those who cannot go in the Spirit, in most cases, it's because of their self-righteousness and frameworks. Those who can't go into Holy Spirit, in Spirit, it's also because they formed some kind of frameworks, being in the Spirit, and that's why they can't go into Holy Spirit. So as you pray in Daniel prayer meetings and special Daniel prayer, you have to, I hope you will find those frameworks and self-righteousness. So you can break them down. Once you realize them, it's easy to break them down. Some people, they have formed framework of goodness. They lived in goodness only. They don't have any evil. So they formed a framework of goodness. Some people, they formed this framework of righteousness. They lived a righteous life. They lived by the word of God. So they have this framework of righteousness. They think they are right. But the word of God says that you have to do what is right in my sight. It has to be right in God's sight, not in your sight. So everybody has his own self-righteousness. And why do they debate? Why do they argue? Even among good friends, even between husband and wife, even between parents and children. Because of these arguments, they have hard feelings and all those bad feelings. Why do they argue? Because everybody has different self-righteousness. Everybody thinks he is right, which is all different from each other. But those who are in the Spirit, they don't argue. They don't quarrel. They never break peace because they don't have any self-righteousness. They just have righteousness of God, of the Lord, in the truth. So they don't have any argument. They don't quarrel. They never break peace. They don't get angry. It's all good. You know, when they meet with each other, it's all happy and lovely. They can have only happy conversations. So if a man of spirit gather together, they'll be so happy. That's why in heavenly kingdom, it'll be so happy. In such a beautiful world, especially. So you also have your self-righteousness and frameworks, which is difficult to change because you think they are right. Some people, their parents, they have faith, they love the shepherd, they follow him. And God says about their daughter, she has received the strong self-righteousness of the father, and she has the framework of goodness of the mother. Mother is good-hearted, but she also has the frameworks of goodness, and the father also has strong righteousness. And he taught her with the strong righteousness, and the mother taught her with the framework of goodness. So this daughter has a strong self-righteousness and also the framework of goodness. So she has to demolish those things so she can go into spirit. Other things, she doesn't lack anything. She was raised in goodness by her parents since young, but she can go into spirit after breaking these frameworks. There are also deficiencies of the body that cause you to stay away from the matters of the Lord. You have to realize all these things one by one and cast them off so you can become a bride of the Lord without any blemish. The Lord's brides, they must have no blemish. That's why without casting off the deficiencies of the body, you can't go into spirit. But some of the deficiencies of the body are not caused because they don't know deep spiritual truth. Sometimes they don't even have common sense and acceptable social behavior. They don't even have common sense. Even the worldly people, they have these common senses and acceptable social behaviors. But some believers, they don't even have those things. For example, this may involve socially acceptable standards in public, such as dining and normal conversation. just in dining, to talk about dining manners. 1 hour, one session is not enough. I can just point out something. Same with manners in conversation. One session is not enough. Public manners, not to talk about them. Examples include talking loudly, allowing saliva to come out of the mouth, or talking with food in their mouths while eating. Some people talk loudly in a quiet restaurant and disturb others. Even among the leaders, a couple of elders, they do that. Please listen carefully. And I hope you will realize that it is you that you have wrong manners in dining, so you can correct them, so you can be loved by all as elders. They talk loudly, allowing saliva to come out of the mouth or talking with food in their mouths. You might not even be aware of them. Your saliva is coming out, but sometimes the food is coming out of the mouth, but they don't realize. Even though the piece of food is fallen into the dishes, they don't realize it. So, we have kind of a list of those people, so my secretaries, they don't put them away. They try to place them away from me, my table. So, if I eat with them, I can't eat at all. So, there are many people, surprisingly many people, so you should watch yourself. Second sanctuary, please raise your hands. Third sanctuary, raise your hands. So in some of the mission groups, some of them do that. Even in women's mission, men's mission. So, if we have a chance after conference, so the workers, my secretaries and workers, they are alert, they are cautious to put them away from my table, put them away from me, because they will keep on asking me things. They make me talk so I can't eat. If those people are around, me, I don't even know what I ate, what kind of taste I had, because I was focusing on talking with them. I couldn't feel the taste or anything. So it's not really right as a dining manner. You are treating your guest, and you don't allow them to eat freely. Also, if you allow your saliva to come out. So the secretaries, the workers, they know who are doing these things, so they try to put them away from my table. But these people, they forcefully, they just allow themselves to sit near me. So some people talk loudly in a quiet restaurant and disturb others. If it is quiet, you have to be quiet too. But, these people, they talk so loudly, so these unbelievers, they look at us. Long ago, in a movie or something like that, in a restaurant, some young people, they talk so loudly, they're enjoying themselves, and some other people next to them, they are gang members, and they don't like it, so they tell them to be quiet. And if they don't keep quiet, because they are young and they think they're strong enough, and they'll get into a fight, group fight. You sometimes see these things in movies or things like that. It's because they are ill-mannered, impolite. If you want to talk loudly and eat and enjoy yourselves, there are some places where you can do that. In the street vendors or there are some certain places where such people gather and they talk loudly and eat and talk freely and loudly. Before, they used to have this, you know, this street of street vendors, street restaurants. I don't know how it's changed. So I once visited that kind of that area to see how it's changed from before, from the past. And in such places, you know, you have this raw fish, sashimi, and you don't have a high quality, but you just have a low quality. And also, you have some dishes like squid, raw squid, and other. You have these sea food, and you drink soju. We didn't order any soju. We just had Coke. And I was watching what kind of environment it was, how people are doing, acting. And in those places, they don't care about other people. Everybody does that. I'm not under-evaluating such people, but what I'm saying is, I'm just talking about the reality. Of course, not all of them. There are some people who are gentle, so these gentlemen, they wouldn't really enjoy being in such places. Some people park their cars randomly at any place just because they are busy. Late at night when people are sleeping, they talk and laugh loudly while walking on the streets or in residential areas. They cut in line in dining halls. They cut in line and it's not really right. It's unpleasant. And you as the holy children of God, you shouldn't be cutting in lines, or you shouldn't, the worldly people shouldn't be saying that you are unpleasant and ill-mannered, impolite about. So they say, oh, I'm busy, oh, I'm so busy, you know, I have this thing. And it's not only once, they do it all the time. They should know other people are also busy. Even if you don't hear about these things in sermons, you know that they are inappropriate. It's not really about faith. It is about the etiquette that we have to keep in everyday life. But even though you say you believe in God and long for holiness, you will easily do these things as long as you do not cast off selfishness. If you cannot seek the benefit of others and cause discomfort to others even at the level of common sense, which even the worldly people keep, how far away are you from being in spirit? I will explain about these things that you have to have and do to be perfect brides of the Lord. Acceptable standards of behavior of the world and that of the Lord are not completely different. Those who have standards of behavior of the Lord would meet the standards of the world too. To become spotless as brides of the Lord, you have to check yourself even in these things and adorn yourself. To the extent that you cast away evil from your heart, these low-level deficiencies of the body will naturally be filled up. Also, if you have a stoppage at a later stage of the third level of faith, even though you try hard, if you have a stoppage at the later stage of the third level, many of you are at this stage before going into spirit. Many of them are going into spirit since the past leadership conference. So those who are at the later stage of third level, you should realize these deficiencies of the body. So realizing your deficiencies of the body and casting them off will help you greatly. Let me tell you the examples of the process of how deficiencies are made. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, from now, let me give you specific examples of the situations where the deficiencies of the body are formed. Long ago, when the whole family lived together in one house, they learned to give and receive love among the family members. They learned the roles of the parents and those of the children, and they learned to follow the order and serve each other, seeing, hearing, and experiencing those things. So in the big family, long ago, they had to respect some of the people as their grandparents, although they were just 3 or 4 years older because of the degree of the relatives. Also, your nephews might be older than you. Your uncles might be younger than you because of the time differences among the cousins. So even though your uncle is younger, even you have to respect them. You have to pay them proper respect as your uncle. Of course, it's the same in the society. In the company, if there is an order, obviously you have to respect the CEO, the president. Also, to the other executive officers, they have to respect them. It's the same in the schools and in all organizations. If these orders are broken, it's not right. Some time ago, the president, the chancellor of the prestigious university, he received the eggs from the students. But of course, this is not really the order being broken, but he did something that is not right. But anyway, as they lived with the elders of the family, they naturally learned the everyday etiquette and manners in dining, conversation, and greeting. Also, as the extended family lived all together, they could not just seek their own desire. They naturally learned how to care about other people's viewpoints and situations, and to sacrifice themselves for others. On the contrary, if you do not experience such things in the family, it is easy to develop deficiencies of the body in those things. For example, some are raised in a family where the parents would quarrel a lot. Some others might have been deserted by their own parents. Still others are raised in unfavorable environments or being abused. If they do not experience the love and trust of being raised in stable homes, but experience fear and pain, it is more likely that they will have instability in their personalities and negative thinking. They find it difficult to trust or share their heart with others. They might find it difficult to have any social life. Those children who see their parents get angry are likely to follow after their parents' behavior, even though they hated their parents getting angry. So those daughters-in-law who suffered from harsh mothers-in-law, they think, oh, I'll be nice to my daughter-in-law. They say that. They think that. But as they become mother-in-law, they become even more harsh. Nowadays, they can't say that, but it's different. But before 80s, it was like that. They became even more fearful mothers-in-law. They impulsively show violent acts, being unable to control their emotions. If the deficiency is serious, they come to have cruel hearts. They might abuse animals or commit grave crimes without having any pangs of conscience. When they feel fear and hatred towards their parents rather than love, they also find it difficult to feel the love of God. If you do not really feel the love of God, you have heard, you know God is love, but some of you can't really feel the love of God. They must have had some kind of deficiencies of the body and the growth. They were not loved enough, so they don't know how to give love. Some people shed tears just by saying, I love you, God. But while others, even though they hear that, even after hearing the sermon for an hour about God's love sending us His one and only Son, why is it so different? Some people, they just shed tears just by saying, I love you, Father. They just shed tears while listening to some testimonies. But other people, they don't know how to shed tears. They're not touched by any testimonies or anything like that. It's all deficiencies of the body. So they have to find the cause and correct it. So the Bible also tells us we have to rejoice together while they are rejoicing. We have to mourn together while others mourn. But if our emotions are dried, you can't do that. There are some people who don't even shed tears even when their parents pass away. Especially some daughters-in-law, because they're not her real parents. They put some saliva on their eyes, pretending to be shedding tears. But if you are full of emotion, and they cry, even when the neighbor's house, they have a deceased, when they have something unhappy, they cry together. This is how it's supposed to be. When they feel fear and hatred towards their parents rather than love, they also find it difficult to feel the love of God. Even if they hear of the unconditional love of God the Father or the sacrificial love of the Lord, they are not easily moved. Especially those who live a harsh life, those who succeeded by themselves, they were in such difficulty, but they tried hard, so hard, to make themselves successful. Especially those people, among them, they have this kind of deficiency of the body. They only care about themselves. They have to overcome. They have to win in the competition. They don't care about others. They only care about themselves because they have to succeed. So by doing that, they develop deficiency of the body. So as they are grown up like that, because they try so hard and they succeed, but they don't have love, then they don't really know the grace or love, and they will have these deficiencies. So when they, even if they hear of the unconditional love of the Lord, they're not moved. Also, those who committed so many evil sins, they have these deficiencies of the body, serious deficiencies. They just feel God is a judge who is fearful and to be feared. Such people in many cases cannot have deep friendships, sharing love with God, even though they might seem to lead a very faithful Christian life after accepting the Lord. Even among family members, I'm asking you to cut off the fleshly affection. Because many of you are coming to spirit, and because many of you are standing on the rock of faith, I'm telling you these things often. Or it's difficult to talk about, because if you develop misunderstanding, it's not good. But if now you can understand, so it's something that our Lord warned us about so much. When the disciples, Jesus was teaching His disciples, Mary, the Virgin Mary, came because of the bad rumors about Jesus and His brothers, Mary's children. So did Jesus go out? Oh, did they come? No, He didn't. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? Who are my brothers and sisters? Only those who do the will of the Father in heaven. They are my brothers and sisters. Flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. The Lord chooses spirit. So, you should have discernment between flesh and spirit. So many people, they are just clinging to flesh and they can't go into spirit. Yesterday, there was a family of a father and son and daughter. They don't have the mother. The mother died long ago, and they're just a family of three. And the father says, "Senior pastor, I didn't teach them right, teach my children right." Why? I asked. I don't think so. I sometimes ask Elder Choi whether these children are doing well in faith, whether they are having a good term with their father. So Elder Choi always says they are good. So because he was saying such a thing, I asked why. And he says, "My son, in the special Daniel prayer meeting, he missed one night in the special Daniel prayer meeting. Reason is, he was exercising. And I don't know in detail, but some foreigners came in. Because there was nobody else to compete with him, he had to go. And so he missed one day, one night, in the special Daniel prayer meeting. The father found out he missed it. He missed one night. And the father punished the son, gave him some corporal punishment. With a rod, how many lashes? He asked the son. The son said, "I'll get six beatings." With a rod, he received six beatings on the calves. And it would get bruised and get swollen. And with that thick rod, he wouldn't just go lightly. And the father's heart must have been so broken after doing that. You shouldn't be following, try to follow this man's mission members. I don't know if you have that kind of love. Why such a painful rod? In that kind of discipline, the son and the daughter, the son is studying broadcasting in the college. He wants to offer himself to God. And the daughter is doing studying voice in the college. And even without the mother, they didn't go astray. And they were raised in the truth with the discipline of the father. This is love. This is the rod of love. And because of that love, they didn't go astray and they were raised in the Lord. Once I explained this in educating my children, when my children were in elementary school, I'm not so sure whether Pastor Sujin Lee was in elementary school. After they came back from the church on Sunday, because it's summer, hot summer day, they wanted to have some ice candies. And of course, the mother knew they shouldn't be doing it, but she couldn't refuse. Because their children were asking. At that time, maybe for three children, it was 300 won or, I don't know, 100 won for three kids. And she gave them some money. So they took this and they were going outside to the shop. And as they were going out of the door, I called them to come back. I told them to throw. Nowadays, they have pocket money. They can't even buy some pizza for themselves. They don't find it wasteful, but because we have abundance. At that time, you're not so abundant in anything. So even 100 won was very precious, valuable at that time. In those days, you know, we're not a rich country. And I told them to throw the money in the toilet. So the three of them went together and threw it out there and came back. And that was it. I didn't have to beat them. And without even having to beat the children, without having to give them any corporal punishment, they could plant the truth deep inside their heart. They knew, they learned, and they knew, but they couldn't put it into practice. But by throwing away that valuable, precious money into the toilet, they could plant the truth deep inside their heart. On the Lord's Day, they must not buy or sell anything. So even without having to give them corporal punishment. But if you love them fleshly, stand in the side of the children. It's so hot, and they just want to have this little ice cream. If you're rich, they could have eaten anything they wanted. But because we are not rich enough, they, with so much difficulty, they asked their mother to buy them some ice cream. Of course, I knew their heart. But it is not right to violate the law of God. This is spiritual love. Fleshly love counts for nothing. Only spiritual love does. And because I raise them with the spiritual love, they went into spirit all by themselves. And also, one of them went to Holy Spirit. The others are also very close to Holy Spirit. And they're fulfilling great duties. Because I raised them in spirit, they can do that. Because I raised them in spirit, God raised them himself. If I raised them in flesh, God wouldn't raise them. Sometimes in the sermons, I talk about the past of the president or director and other my family members, but I tell others my most precious, the one I love the most is my wife. Do I have to openly talk about it all the time? It's my heart. Even when I pray to God, without my wife, I couldn't have make this church that is so loved by God, fulfilling world evangelism. And president or director, because she has been leading the prayers all the time, you could have gone into spirit this much. Without prayers, it's very difficult. It's impossible. That's why, before, I always think about who is my most precious. I have this number one, number two, and number three. Because I didn't give her, my wife, fleshly love. She just, before Holy Spirit, she became such a spiritual warrior with the power of God, making so many souls repent, leading so many souls to the kingdom of heaven. Because I coldly cut off all the fleshly affections. That is why she cast off flesh with such harsh fasting and prayers. And now, how happy she is. What does she lack? She lacks nothing. All her children are doing well. They are all persons of God. And in flesh or spirit, there's no shortage. There's no lacking. Of course, in spirit, they have to go into more of deeper level of spirit. It's the same with your children, your family members. It is true to give them spiritual love. Fleshly love is meaningless. It all gives you regrets. It'll only give you regrets. You will regret why I raised my children this way. If you raise your children in spirit, you can raise your children into spiritual warriors. So some parents, because they raise their children in spiritual ways, those children are just at the threshold of going into spirit. If I raised you, church members, in flesh, you must be so happy. In fleshly sense. I must be happy by myself. I don't have to lose my energy. I can just encourage you all the time. I just greet you. Or just give tithes, give thanks offering. And then I'll be loved so much. And you will buy me so many gifts and presents. But my love is not like that. I'm always watching. Who is going into spirit? Who is coming into spirit? And who is coming to Holy Spirit? If you come into Holy Spirit, I love you so much. And those who are in spirit, I love you. Everybody who is in spirit, I love you so much. Let us pray together, thinking about the message. Hallelujah, Father God. Thank you so much. We listened about deficiencies of the body. Let us realize our deficiencies of the body and cast them off. Let us realize why we developed such deficiencies of the body. Let us find a cause, and let us also throw away these, cast off these causes. Fix them and cast off all deficiencies. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I pray for the sick. Lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities and receive the prayer for your heart's desires. Hallelujah, Father God, lay your hands on them. From head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And give them spiritual and physical health. Show your works transcending space and time. Bless all the members in branch churches, all churches, local sanctuaries who are attending the service through a satellite all over the country, all the children of God who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, all Mom and TV and GCN viewing audiences, all 9,000 branch churches all over the world. Pastor Grace Hatchin Lee of Nepal will have a United Summer Retreat from October 5th to 7th. Give them good weather. Dorothy Mignat of United States, high blood pressure, go away. And she is losing the sight, and let her recover her sight. Guan Junchul of Canada, let him get the residential permit. Juan Raul of Peru, long TB, be healed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Long TB, go away, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit, be cleansed. Jinta Jin of United Kingdom, kidney failure, and let his son's asthma go away. Let him get a good job. Tung Yo Xiang, high blood pressure, heart disease, go away. Han Rong, blindness, hearing disorder, go away. Li Wan Ying, cancer of the cells, be burnt by the fire of the Lord, be cleansed. The cancers, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Light come. Pang Vihua, a hearing disorder, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit, be cleansed. Wei Renjun, let him have strength in the legs and so that he can stand up and walk. Sun Ying Ming, the founder, the teachers, and all the children in Izijiawen Kindergarten, be protected in spirit and body. Kim Hyung-nan, all the phobias go away and let her have peace of mind. All the phobias go away. Give her peace of mind. Father, from head to toe, all entrails and cells and nerves and tissues burned with the fire of the Holy Spirit and give them health. Let the eyes see well, let the ears hear well. All the stomach entrails, all internal organs be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Light come. Skin diseases go away. All cancers, metastasized cancers, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Be cleansed. Light come. All cancers, germs, viruses, be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Cleanse them and surround them with your work on them with the aura lights. High and low blood pressure, diabetes, go away. Light come. Father, thank you. Protect them. Give them peace throughout this week. And after a week, we'll have the 29th anniversary, Sunday. Let us prepare well. And Father, thank you. Give them strength. And as they have sown and acted, bless them. And protect all the church vehicles and church members' vehicles. And let them make no mistakes while driving. Lord, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.